This is an institution of learning, ladies and gentlemen.
Listen to students, listen to parents.
No, we're seniors. This is our year to slack off.
Okay.
Bueller.
Empower us.
The best anti-poverty program around is a world-class education.
This is the civil rights issue of our era.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening as we whip from the past to the future.
We understand that outworn programs are inadequate to the needs of our time. So we must harness new ideas and technology to remake our government, revamp our tax code, reform our schools, and empower our citizens with the skills they need to work harder, learn more, reach higher. But while the means will change, our purpose endures. A nation that rewards the effort and determination of every single American. That is what this moment requires.
An ambitious agenda yesterday, the president speaking a lot about the future in his inaugural address, what he thinks we need to meet it, and how he intends to shape it. We'll get more of a blueprint of the president's program in the upcoming State of the Union address. But in this moment, we want to see where things stand in some of the major areas. We believe the president plans major initiatives over the next 4 years, and education is clearly one of those areas.
If we want America to lead in the 21st century, nothing is more important than giving everyone the best education possible, from the day they start preschool to the day they start their career.
That's something the president said during his weekly radio address last summer, something he reiterated throughout the campaign. And one of the most successful educational initiatives ever at the federal level was the Head Start program back in the 1960s. President Obama seems to favor increasing the investment in early childhood education. We will see what that means in a state that's already taken that step, a discussion of what's going on in Oregon later this hour. But first, in the largest school system, in the largest city in the United States, what the federal government comes up with on education can mean billions of dollars in assistance or expense or both. Beth Fertig, education reporter for WNYC, joins us now. Welcome.
Hello.
So, Beth, do you think the federal government is in a reform mood right now? And does that make big local school districts happy or fearful when the feds start talking big new programs?
Obama did not invest as much in pre-K education as supporters had hoped he would during the campaign in 2008. He had talked about a $10 billion investment. He's talking about that again now and the expansion of Head Start programs for four-year-olds and three-year-olds. And this administration has also shown that it's very interested in using education spending in a way that's going to promote the changes that it seeks and favors, and in holding out competitive grants to states and then having them pledge to meet certain accountability standards.
So it's a bait and switch, a kind of a carrot and stick approach. And sometimes the states are concerned that they're going to get caught up in some other agenda item because education money is so dear.
Well, that's how it's been with Race to the Top, which has been the Obama administration's signature on education. Billions of dollars that were offered to states to compete for grants. And so far, there were 12 states and then a bunch more that won Race to the Top grants by the end of last year for early childhood education. And the way that that works is the states had to provide a sense of how they were going to improve teacher training and principal training, professional development, also measuring teacher accountability, seeing if student test scores rise, which is very contentious among those who believe that student test scores are not always an indicator of teacher performance. And they also had to show they were going to create data systems. And these are programs that the Obama administration favors. Charter schools were in there too. And so the states had to pledge that they were going to use this money in a way that the administration supported. So New York State, for example, won a $700 million Race to the Top grant, the biggest size grant that it could win. And then it got bogged down, at least in the case of New York City, because in exchange for getting a lot of that money, school districts had to come up with new teacher evaluation systems that would use a combination of classroom observations and student test scores to evaluate their teachers.
And we can get a sense of the frustration in that debate over teacher evaluations by listening to the mayor of New York. Here's Mayor Bloomberg speaking on the teacher evaluation question and some of the frustrations he's experienced.
There were things that they had come in at the last moment, last night, that were obviously designed to keep the deal from working, that they just threw on the table. Period, end of story. They can say anything they want. These things did not show up until last night.
Now, you've covered this blow by blow here, but suffice it to say, for a national audience, the federal government has encouraged a battle between teachers and school district leaders in the New York district, and it's not been a pretty sight.
Well, the they that Mayor Michael Bloomberg was talking about was the teachers union. And I don't know if you could say the federal government has encouraged these two to go at it, but what it has said is that they have to get along and come up with a deal that is going to rate teachers. I mean, not all states have teachers unions in place, but in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo had said that in order for districts to get their piece of the Race to the Top funds, they would have to have teacher evaluation systems in place that the districts and their unions would negotiate. Now, as of last week, which was Cuomo's deadline for coming up with the teacher evaluations on January 17th, virtually all of the 700 school districts in New York State had made deals with their unions to qualify for the funds, except New York City. In the end, what it meant was that New York City lost the equivalent of almost $500 million in state and federal grants.
Making the federal priorities work at the local level is a huge, huge challenge, as that is an absolute case in point. But the National Center for Education Statistics says that U.S. graduation rates are actually up to a 35-year high right now. So as the Obama administration heads into an education agenda, there is some positive news.
Yes, but they also acknowledge that many students, too many students in many places, are graduating with what they consider, the Obama administration considers, to be not very adequate diplomas. And so that's why you see the push for the Common Core standards. There is no federal education law. They can't say everyone's got to have these standards. That's just not how it works. But what they can do is say we want to encourage states to beef up their graduation standards and to have state tests that are going to measure a broader or deeper type of learning and measure learning content. And so that's what's called the Common Core. They're supposed to be better tests that encourage students to think deeper. And so they want everybody to be ready for college and careers. That's why you hear so much of the buzz of college ready. So New York City, for example, and New York State have begun measuring college readiness among their high school graduates. And so in New York City, even though over 60% of students graduate in 4 years with real high school diplomas, fewer than 30% of them are graduating ready for college.
So there's a lot behind those statistics. Beth Fertig, education reporter at WNYC in New York City, author of the book, Why Can't You Teach Me to Read? Thanks so much, Beth.
You're welcome.
From college ready, we'll be exploring what job ready actually means from people who actually graduate from college. That's later this hour. But the state of Oregon is now in the middle of making some new investments and seeking new approaches to early intervention programs for the youngest students at the pre-K level. We turn now to Rob Manning, reporter for Oregon Public Broadcasting. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, John.
What's Oregon taking a look at, and is it an innovation approach or a massive new funding approach to early intervention and pre-K?
Well, I think they'd love massive new funding if you talk to early childhood advocates, but it's really about realigning and reorganizing how early childhood is done. It has been in the past spread across multiple agencies and multiple commissions and divisions, and over the last year or so, it's been consolidated under one roof, really, the early learning council. But what that's going to look like on the ground is really, to be determined. It's kind of still a work in process. They did qualify for a Race to the Top early learning challenge grant, so they have a little bit of federal money to work with, or $20 million of federal money to help the effort. But it's really still very much a work in progress. The idea is to, create a more efficient system so that they'll spend money better and really make it so that it can move better to pursue ideas that have been proven to work, and to invest better in, teacher training, professional development, so that, the people are doing the right things and they have the training to actually do it.
Is Oregon looking for specifically targeted program grants from the federal government if it decides to increase its interest in early childhood education, or does it simply want more money like a Head Start grant to continue what you're already doing?
Well, I think that Oregon has been pretty good, I think, in recent years in working with the federal government. I think it learned a lot from going through the Race to the Top state, the broad school district or statewide K-12 competition and losing, and basically figured out, okay, these are the kinds of things that the federal government wants. And they were successful then at getting the early learning challenge grant from the federal government last year. And I think that they would be you know, they would love to be able to put more money behind what they're doing. I mean, it's part of, you know, this whole redesign of 0 through 20, as they call it, where it starts before kindergarten, excuse me, and goes on through college. And, you know, so they're trying to figure out, you know, they're trying to do this sort of seamless transition with, you know, a new education investment board that's supervising the whole thing. And so they're trying to make that work. At the same time, you know, geared towards really, you know, long-term change. But at the same time, you know, I think pretty much everybody who watches education in Oregon knows that the whole system is underfunded. And so they're looking for, you know, whatever resources they can find.
Is this concentrated in the Portland area, or and certainly geographically there are some challenges there in Oregon? You've got hyper-rural communities, mid-sized cities like Corvallis and Eugene, and you know, outlying areas very far over to the east. Is this uniformly distributed or pretty much a pilot program in the urban areas?
Well, at this point, a lot of the changes that are being tried, you know, specific initiatives, like there's a kindergarten readiness assessment that was part of the grant, you know, it's required for them to do for the federal money that they're getting. And that's being tried at 16 different schools around the state. Most of them are in urban areas, you know, so they're trying, and that's the way they tend to do things here. They want to see that they can work in different settings, because as you said, it's a diverse state in terms of its needs. There are rural districts that, you know, draw students across hundreds of miles or, you know, dozens of miles, at least to a single school. And then there's places like Portland where, you know, you've got, you know, several, you know, schools in every neighborhood, and they're, you know, they're pretty densely located together. So they want to make sure that these things are going to work everywhere. And a lot of what they're doing this year is testing out things. They're testing out different, you know, preschool initiatives. They're testing out, you know, this kindergarten readiness assessment, which is basically a test that's given to kindergartners to see how well they can read, how well they know their numbers.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Rob Manning, reporter at Oregon Public Broadcasting, talking about some of the piloting programs they're doing in early childhood education there in the state of Oregon. Rob, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
So from early intervention to what do you do if you're an English major in this economy, we've asked for your stories of college degrees going the way of dinosaurs in this economy. My school, Coastal Carolina University, just terminated its Spanish degree, says a listener in South Carolina. The affordable degree is the one going extinct, says Justin in New Jersey. The president has national priorities on education and all sorts of things. So do you. What should Obama do in the next 4 years?
I think that President Obama's most lasting legacy should be reducing the violence in our society.
Decriminalize marijuana on a federal level.
I think the most important and pressing issue is to get the people's voice back into politics. Right now, it is moving strongly in the direction of being of, by, and for the corporate interest.
Keep the conversation going. Weigh in at thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.